So this week, it's my goal to try to do the best I can to teach you on how to study God's Word, give you tools, give you techniques, give you different ways of being able to do it. I will tell you that this is not the only way. All right. This is probably one of probably three ways that I'm very aware of. But I will tell you this. You want to make sure whatever way it is that it's not eisegesis, it's exegesis. All right. You want to make sure you're exegeting the scripture. That is that you're expounding the scripture. You're not trying to put yourself into the scripture. The difference between exegesis and eisegesis is eisegesis would be like a Stephen Furtick. He does a fabulous job of putting himself in every part of God's word. And that's put reading yourself into the word of God. You don't want to do that. That's not what we should be doing as good students of God's word. So my job or my goal is as we get done with this after about 12 weeks, that I've given you the tools, the techniques for you to learn. Now, hey, you ready? This is what's not going to happen. You're not going to leave from here and be able just to be like, well, that don't work for me. It's work. All right. Me and Timothy talked this past week some, and Timothy's like, man, Scott, I'm still trying to, you still learn every day. So it's not something that's just going to happen overnight. So don't grow frustrated. Enjoy the journey. It's a fun journey. This morning, me and someone else was standing in the front of the church after second service, and that journey's quite enjoyable, especially when you're starting to go down different paths and you're using different areas to study God's word, because now you got to verify that path is true and it's not a false path. So a lot of good things come from studying God's word. So we're going to pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we love you. And God, we do say thank you for a word that is truth. Lord, it is true. Lord, we do not have to wonder as we looked last week, Lord, and we saw why it is that I believe the Bible. Lord, it ain't because my grandma said to. It ain't because of what that of my pastor tells me to do. Lord, it's because of what I know it says. And so, Lord, I pray tonight as we begin this interpretive journey. That's what it's called. A journey of learning how. Father, there's those in this room that I'm sure that are very seasoned, Lord, probably more so than myself. Then, Lord, there's some in this room that are very new. And Lord, I just pray, may we all realize that we're all in different areas or different paths of that journey or different areas of that path of our journey. But that, Lord, that the main goal is that each day we're opening your word, we're studying your word. And Lord, we're asking what is it your word says to us so that we can apply it to our lives. And so, Lord, may we be found faithful in that of the study of your word. And Lord, may we always have a hunger for that. And Lord, we love you. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So the whole point is grasping God's word. And I'm going to do something different. So if you take your Bibles, we're going to read through the whole passage of Joshua chapter 1. Here in a minute. So that way you'll already be there. Maybe I can get my recap from last week over with, and then we'll get started. If you remember, the point behind all of this is that all we want to do, y'all, we just want to make sure that we are grasping God's word, that we are grabbing it, we're grasping it, not really analyzing it, not scrutinizing it. I'm going fast through this. This was last week. Not analyzing it down to the point of saying, well, why is that I not here and that T not there? To the point, though, that what we do want to do is that we want to be able to read it carefully. All right. I want to read it carefully. I want to get a proper interpretation. So therefore, it needs to be wisely interpreted. All right. And then I want to make sure that I also commit myself to apply it to my life. It's like the pastor said this morning. Great message that lines up with what we're doing in here. And that is that we need to make sure that we are heeding to God's word, not drifting from it, and that we are applying it to our lives. Okay. One thing to have a Bible at home, quite another thing to pick it up and live it out. All right. And so we need to make sure those are the three things we focus on. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, "The person who has my commandments and obeys them is one who loves me." And we have it, y'all. "The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." I told you that if you want to hear God speak to you daily, there is a way that can happen. It ain't Priscilla Shire's way. The way that you can hear, she would say what we need to hear, and that's Tony Evans's daughter, that we need to hear a new word from God every day. And so she wants new revelation. No, if you want to hear God speak to you, read God's word out loud. All right. Just read it out loud. And that way you can hear God speak to you every day. That's what we need as believers. Why? Because I want it to be revealed to me. I want God to continue to reveal things to me through His Word that I can apply it to my life and live it out in a way that would be pleasing unto Him and to others. A person who truly grasps God's Word will find, listen to this, the Word grasping them. The Word grasping them. We need God's Word to be holding on to us so much that what we've done is that we've dove so deep into it that you're ready that we just smell of it. This morning I broke out a brand new Bible and showed it to the students. All right, and I love new Bibles. They're phenomenal. All right, there's a gentleman stopped by a Friday and gifted me with a it's a neat Bible. I won't go into detail, but it's an amazing Bible. Anyway, it's got my name on the front. He did a fabulous job. But in doing so, when you take that Bible out, the smell of new Bible. Hey, you ready? You ought to smell like that, all right? You ought to smell like the Bible. Just the Word of God is just grasping you because you're in so deep into it. And so the way that we can do that is we can begin on this interpretive journey. And that's really where our notes begin. You're fine, sister. It's where we begin tonight. And that is interpretation. It does matter, y'all. Interpretation does matter, all right? But proper interpretation is a must. So there's a difference in that, okay? There's one thing about interpreting God's Word, all right? Quite another thing for us to understand that it is a must. It isn't a want, all right? Proper interpretation, because if not, then what we do is we wind up with something like the Mormons, or we wind up with something like the Jehovah's Witnesses, or we wind up with something like the Muslim faith, or we wind up with something that is off kilter, like, I don't know, we'll go to Waco, Texas, all right? So when you and I, the proper interpretation, it is not just something we want. No, it's a must within our lives. And in order to do that, what we need to do is we need to understand there's reasons why we read God's Word. I read God's Word, listen to me, so it will encourage me. I love to be encouraged. And listen, there's nothing better that I can read than to read God's Word and God's Word encourage me. I read God's Word to lift my spirits. One of the Bibles that was gifted to me when my grandmother passed away was the Bible that my grandma had during the time that when my grandfather died. And I know that because the Bible, when she started getting Alzheimer's or dementia, that's the one my aunt got. Wow, man, where her mind was there. But man, how she just soaked up the Psalms to be able to be encouraged. She needed her spirits lifted. She needed comfort. And so she gained that comfort. And that's why we read God's Word. We want to be comforted. We want to be able to be guided. We need God's Word to guide our lives. We need God's Word to chide us, to discipline us. It helps us to be able to wake up to, wait a minute, I'm not always right. It builds us up. It gives us hope, and it brings us closer to the living God. It brings us closer each time we read it to that of the living God. Reading, guys, reading the text thoroughly and carefully, listen to me, lies at the beginning of this journey. You've got to read it. You've got to read it slow. My problem I have no problem with reading slow. I don't read good anyway, all right? So for me, that was my crutch as to why I didn't do book reports. That's why I didn't do, that's why whenever when God started calling me to the ministry, I'm like, yeah, right. Can't even read. That's crazy. Why would I need to be? No. But what happens is you and I, as we open up God's Word, it's not so much about how much we can eat at one time, like a Shoney's buffet. It's more like just going and sitting down to a good dinner. All right, and just, are you ready? Just eating what we can at the amount that we can, and really just tasting that meal as we're tasting that meal. One of the places that I loved when I used to work in secular work, we used to go to this place called Manny's, all right? And it was in Minnesota. And what we do is we used to go test windows, and we'd put windows on like these walls, and then we'd shoot water at them, and we'd shoot cannons at them, and it was so fun. We had to get them to pass hurricane test. I loved it. You ready? I loved it when my window was beside an Anderson window, because theirs was the cream of the crop, supposedly. And then they would call mine a trailer window, and we would have great conversations after mine passed the DP rating, and he's still fighting his fight. So, but while I was there, we'd go to Manny's. And Manny's, y'all, listen to me. They would bring that meat out to you. They'd roll it out to a car, and they'd say, "Hey, what cut of steak do you want? And how thick do you want your steak cut?" And you know what? And they'd cut that steak in front of you, and then they'd roll it back, and then they'd come out and they'd say, "What kind of, you know, appetizers would you like?" And I'm like, "I love crab legs." And they go, "Okay, great. We'll bring them to you." Now, our company did not pay for this. The people that we test the windows with. So please do not judge me for this. But the guy brought these crab legs out, y'all. Listen. Crab meat is phenomenal, okay? And he brought them out, hold them like a baby. They're big. And he goes, "Oh, how do these look, sir?" And I'm like, "Those look lovely." And he goes, "Would you like me to shuck them?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And so, you ready? So he turns around and he begins to shuck them. He's shucking them like that. And that's a... He turns around and there's this big plate of crab meat, of crab leg meat. And you're going, "Oh my word." And then there's the bowl of butter and you're just dipping in that butter and you're just eating it. And you're just like, "Oh man, that is amazing." And then they bring out that Texas, that New York strip after you got it cut. Man, cut so nice, cooked so right. And you got the cream spinach. Mm, man. And then, hey, and then the pecan pie, y'all. Whew. Pecan pie. The pecan pie was that thick. It was pecans from top to bottom. And it was so good. Oh, man. The guy ruined it. He put ice cream on it. But he swore it was homemade ice cream. See how hungry I made you? And hey, you ready? And that's really how we ought to approach God's Word. Man, we ought to come to God's Word really looking at it that way. And so what happens is, like tonight, we're going to read Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read from the NET Bible, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 9. And we're going to try to, as we go through these steps, kind of show you how to do these different parts of the step, all right? And then at the end, I'll hope to leave room for questions. So chapter 1, verse 1 of Joshua. After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready. Cross the Jordan River. Lead these people into the land which I am ready to hand over to them. I am handed over to you every place you set foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the wilderness in the south to Lebanon in the north, and it will be extend all the way to the great river Euphrates in the east, including all of Syria, and all the way to the Mediterranean Sea in the west." And you know what? That is still not given to the children of Israel. That's still to come, y'all. So that's something cool to think about. That has not happened yet. So he says this, "And all the way to the Mediterranean," verse 5, "no one will be able to resist you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. So I will be with you and I will not abandon you or leave you alone. Be strong and brave. You must lead these people in the conquest of their land, and I saw that solemnly promised their ancestors I would hand over to them. Make sure you are very strong and brave. Carefully obey all the law of my servant Moses charged you to keep. Do not swerve from it to the right or to the left so that you may be successful in all that you do. This law, listen to this, this law scroll must not leave your lips. You must memorize it or meditate on it day and night so that you can carefully obey all that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful." And notice this, verse 9. "I repeat, be strong and brave. Be courageous," as some of your Bibles. "Don't be afraid and don't panic, for I, the Lord your God, am with you in all you do." All right, so real quick, just to kind of give you appreciation in the book that I have, here's what I would have had to have done in order to prepare. If you see all the colors, this is that passage of scripture from verse 1 to verse 9, and you'll see all of the color here, all right? In order for me to do what I need to do for this interpretive journey, I need to do some things, and that is, as I'm reading God's Word, I need to be willing to write in God's Word or be willing to take notes. There's one or two things there, all right? You need to do that. Because one of the things my professor would have taught me is that, like, when you read through the book of James, if you read through the book of James and you take an orange pencil and you just pencil every time you read the word brother, man, you'd be amazed, all right? How much he speaks to that of the brother. Hey, brother. Hey, brother. Hey, brother. Or the book of Mark, the word immediately, all right? The word immediately in the book of Mark, they call that the shotgun gospel, is because he is immediately, this took place, and immediately that took place, and immediately that, almost, I think, 22 times. The book of 1 John, the word know, K-N-O-W, that is in there 22 times in the King James, and the reason why is because John would have wrote 1 John to the churches of Asia Minor to assure assure them how they can know that they know that they know that they're believers. All right. So if you've got someone that's struggling in their faith and they, you don't need to be the one that says, "You saved, man. I'm telling you, you saved." You don't want that on your shoulder. You want to tell them, "Hey, you need to go to the book of 1 John. You need to take a pencil. And every time you read the KNOW, underline it. And then read that part very carefully, because John was telling them, you can know. I promise you, you can know. All right. And you need to live a life as if you know." And so what happens is as we're reading God's word carefully, something takes place. We began to look at things. We're able to start seeing the Bible in the context that it needs to be found in. We'll start looking and asking about the audience. What separates us from the biblical audience? We ask those questions. Things like, and we'll do this, and again, this is part of the steps. Things like the culture. That's a big one, y'all. For instance, like when Jesus was being crucified, in the book of Mark, it says that they shoved a crown of thorns on his head, they put a cloak on his back, and they put a scepter in his hand. Well, the culture would say that at that time, what they were doing is they were taking your Jesus and my Jesus, and they were treating him as a game piece, as a pawn. They were playing a game with Jesus. Now, can you read that in the book of Mark when you read that? No. You just see that they're doing this, this, and this. But if you go back and you find the culture, so you'd use something like this to be able to say, "Hey, this is what was going on during this time. This was the culture at that time." But because you need to know that. The culture, the customs, the language. What was the language of that time? The situation. We know that Joshua is getting ready to go into the promised land. And we know that Joshua has now been tagged leader. All right. Because of why? Well, because Moses is dead. The vast expanse of time. We need to know, how far back was this? That's a big deal. All right. Why? Well, because it puts things in order. We don't serve a God of chaos. We serve a God of order. And so what we'd want to do is kind of dive in and say, when was the book of Joshua written? And then what you could do is you would find out as you're doing that, we'll talk more about that here in a minute, is that really all of Joshua was not written by Joshua. Although it's titled Joshua, you would think, well, that's crazy. Why not? Well, because at the end, Joshua's dead. And so therefore, Joshua couldn't have wrote some of it. And so therefore, it causes you to go, "Oh, that's amazing. I see what you're talking about." And so therefore, you're just looking for those things that took place. The change of covenant. So we know that the Old Testament, they had the old covenant, all right? Well, you and I are now in the new covenant. And so what happens is, as we're reading the Old Testament, we need to ask ourselves, how does this play out in the Old Covenant to that of the New Covenant? Here's a good one. You ready? We're no longer under certain law. All right. That would be like the ceremonial laws. Okay. People all the time be like, how you believe in a Bible and a God whenever you say that, you know, a man's not supposed to lie with a man, but I bet the shirt you've got on has got two different fabric in it. And you're like, well, you know what? Thank you for bringing that up. Let me tell you about how nonsensical that is, because you're not understanding there's moral laws, there's ceremonial laws. And so there's different laws there that takes place in that of the book of Deuteronomy. That's the only way you can know that, though, is if you do the interpretive journey. Slow down and just read God's word carefully. And so what happens in that is then what we realize is that list that's above there, you'll look at your little map. That becomes the river that we've got to cross. That becomes the river. These are the things that really, if you're not careful, you'll begin to wade out into it. And if you don't have a bridge, a good way to cross over it, you'll end up taking some of those things out of context. You'll end up doing like some of the poor preachers do, and that is begin to read yourself into things. You'll begin to take things out of context when it comes to the culture. You'll begin to write things in that are not there. Because why? Because you did not cross over that river properly with the proper principles. There's going to be called the principle bridge, okay? That should be all in your river there, I think. All of those. Yeah, see, I've tried to do my best, all right? And so what happens is we begin that first journey. Number one, all right? There is steps to this interpretive journey, but remember, it is hard work. Step one, we must find out about their town. What did the text mean to the biblical audience? What did this text mean to the biblical audience? And what happens is if you and I are not careful, we begin to take things out of context. For instance, Jeremiah 29:11. Don't turn there. I'll just tell you that you've taken that one out of context, because he says, "I know the plans. I know the future." Well, that's not written to you and me. That was written to the children of Israel, and that was written to their time. And so what happens is we take that verse and we'll put it on us. I'm guilty of it. I put it on the graduation video out here when we do that. And that's the last verse that we show. And so what we need to realize is, are you ready? That was written to that audience at that time. But there is principle, or there is a meaning that we can take from that. It's just that it's not written to us. And so we've got to be careful how we handle it. For instance, Joshua 1:1-9, there's a lot of people that take that passage and they say that it's written to you and I today. A lot of prosperity preachers say that as well. You say, "Show me where, Pastor Scott." Well, I'll show you just real quick. You ready? Because they're not understanding their audience. Notice verse 1 of Joshua 1. After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord said to Pastor Scott. It's to Joshua. And so, okay, Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready to cross the Jordan River. Lead South River." We're going to lead South River, the people, into the land. We're going to go into the land of milk and honey, y'all. No, that's nonsense. That is taking it out of context. That's eisegeting the scripture, and that is me writing myself into the scripture. That is not good, all right? Now, hold on a minute. Are you and I on a journey to a land of promise? Yes, I am. I am. I'm just not on that journey, all right? You got to be careful with that. And what we do is, and sometimes we do it out of ignorance, all right? And there's, hey, you ready? I've done it before. People's called me out on it, and I've said, "Sorry, I messed up. That was not good." And I admit it, and I move on. And so we have to realize, we need to know, what did this mean to the biblical audience? You have to read it carefully. You have to look. Listen, see all that you can. For instance, let me get my book. I need another piece of whatever. Like, I think I could use another one of these little. All right, just talking about the audience, that means Joshua, okay? I went through and took a green pencil in 9 verses. Joshua, either it's the word Joshua or the word you or the word you will. I did that 23 times in 9 verses. This passage says, "To you, Joshua." All right, this is to you. 6 times Moses' name is mentioned. So 6 times, so I know Joshua, I know Moses, the Lord, Yahweh, he's mentioned 3 times. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's a big deal. All right. So that's 3 times. 10 times, it's a reference to that of God. So not just his holy name, but then there's 10 times where God says, "I will do this. I will do that." 5 times, what I'm going to do is I'm going to find where he talks about a place. Like, there's the Jordan River, there's the land that was promised to Moses, there's the Euphrates, there's the Hittites, there's the Mediterranean Sea. I'm going slow, and what I'm doing is I'm just saying, okay, wait a minute. I want to know, and then you know what I had to do? I went and I took me a map, because they're in the back of your Bible if you got a cool Bible, and I just flip back there. And what I want to do is I want to see that area. I want to see what that looks like. Okay? Why? Because that helps me visualize what, hey, you ready? When God says, "Joshua, this is what you're going to do," Joshua's going, "Wow, that's huge." Kind of like Wilkes County. And Wilkes County's big. I didn't know this until I went to go preach at Trap Hill for a season. And when I was there, I realized I didn't know nobody in Trap Hill. And I lived in Wilkes County all my life. It's big. And that's what you would find out here. And that's why you would start looking and you would start realizing, man, this biblical audience, this is huge to them. I'm going to scrutinize the grammar. I want to look at the capital L, capital R, capital O, R, D. I want to see that, man, because that's his holy name. I'm going to look at the "I charge you with." I want to look at, hey, ready? Some of these words I'm going to look up. I'm going to stop. I'm going to pause. I'm going to take my keyword study Bible. I'm just going to pause, and that way I'm going to look that word up, and I'm going to know what that word means. I want to know what it means in the Hebrew language. Why? Because it was written to them in the Hebrew language. I want to know what the grammar is. I'm going to analyze all significant words. That's why I did what I did. I went through and just highlighted all the significant words. The other words that I underlined was be strong, yeah, courageous, because. I love the word because. Because I told you, I just said do this, this is why. Because you will lead. I love the promises. I don't know if you've ever just read through a section of Scripture that's got promises from that of God. God was giving him a promise. And he was able to look back on Moses' life and see how God had brought Moses through faithfully. Remember, Joshua was one of the only ones that was able to come back and say, yeah, we can do this. All right? It's what happens is he sees that, and he knows that when God says, I will do this, he knows that God will do that. Why? Well, because I'm looking at all those significant words. I'm going to study historical, and I'm going to study literary context. I'm going to study that. Why? Well, I'm going to know that Joshua, at the beginning of Joshua, they say, you ready? They say that he began to write there, but he also probably wrote towards the end of Deuteronomy as well. Because why? Well, Moses died on top of the mountain, remember? No one knows where Moses' body's at. Moses' body, I don't know if you ever studied that, but it was fought over by that of the angel and that of Satan. And so I think, my opinion, Moses will be one of the witnesses that comes back. And I just happen to believe that they're going to be like, what? Anyway, so again, complete side note. Told you, that's what you want to do. And God, man, you want to study, guys. You want to be able to speak with confidence. You want to be able to share. And so what happens is, as we began to look at the historical aspect, what was happening in this audience's life? How do we do that? One of the books that I brought in here, it's called Zondervan's Illustrated Bible Backgrounds Commentary, okay? This is just for Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, okay? This is going to cost you money. And so what I would tell you is that you go to like a Blue Letter Bible, try to find something there. Another one is Bible Hub. That one's free. Bible Hub has got tons of stuff on it that's free. That's a good one to take to. And what I would encourage you to do is try to find, there's going to be one made by Vines. Vines does a more condensed historical background, cultural background. There's a lot of things out there. This is the one I have. This is the one I use. I find it to be easier to use. And so that's what I do. All right. So illustrated Bible backgrounds and commentary. Why? Well, because I believe in what I'm telling you. I believe we got to do that. What are the words before and after your passage of Scripture? Pastor did a fabulous job this morning. He says, hey, the word therefore is therefore. It's there for a reason. And so what you have to do is, like, if you got into your passage this morning, it would say this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Well, you know what I'm going to have to do? If I've just now picked up the book of Joshua, I need to go back and see what happened with Moses. I want to know how he died. All right. Why? Well, and I want to know how Deuteronomy ended out. Because why? Well, because then there's a command to Joshua that he needs to follow all of the laws. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And so I kind of want to, I'm not going to read all of them, but I want to know how Deuteronomy closed out. Why? Well, because I need to know the words before and the words after. So therefore, I would also want to read the whole chapter. So if I was going to preach this on a Sunday morning, or I was going to teach this at a Sunday school setting, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the whole chapter of Joshua. I'll probably read it like 20 or 30 times, just the whole chapter. Why? I want to be able to visualize it. I want to be able to see as best I can to where I'm not having to keep looking at my Bible. I just want to visualize it, okay? Then I'll come back and I'll focus on that nugget, that passage that we want to make sure that we present out or that we talk about, okay? So that's step one, all right? Be cautious, though. Caution. Be careful not to generalize or form a theology yet. As you're doing this, what's the audience? What year was it? Who wrote it? Be careful not to go, oh, I know what this is all about. All right? Because that's not what you're there for. What you're trying to do is you're trying to really observe the text, ask those who, what, when, where, why, how, come questions, so that you can really get a good understanding, so that when you make this next step, you can really start looking for the principles of the text, okay? So you want to be very careful. Don't generalize or form any theology or teaching. Don't let that word get you any kind of thought of teaching yet, okay? Step two, measure the width of the river to cross. I don't know if you've ever tried to cross a river, but you ought to do it in the winter on rocks, and you'll find it to be very taskful. That's a great word. All right. And so what you want to do is you want to look at this river and you want to try to figure out, okay, how wide is this river? How big a difference do we have here? And so what happens is number one, you need to identify common differences in culture, language, situation, time, and often covenant. All right. Those are big things. We've got to make sure that we identify those common differences. Number one, real quick, when I'm reading Joshua chapter 1, I know that Joshua, they are under the old covenant. All right, I know that. I know I'm under the new covenant. And so therefore, there's two different views that I'm looking from. I do not need to put myself back under the old covenant because I can find cross-reference passages that gives me this confirmation in the New Testament that Joshua gets from the Lord here. Okay, so we have to identify the common differences between us. We got to find when it comes to the culture. There ain't none of us walking in the wilderness, all right? There ain't none of us wandering and walking around. There ain't none of us going into the promised land. Not that one anyway. And so we see that there's those differences in that of them and us. Language, big difference, all right? That's where you've got the Hebrew and the English. The situation, they're going into the promised land. They've been wandering, man. And now, hey, things are getting ready to get real. And what God is telling Joshua is he's saying, Joshua, I want you to be strong. I want you to be courageous. Y'all, there's nothing worse than following a weak leader, okay? I will tell you as a pastor under another pastor, okay? I'm very thankful for Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris is a very strong leader, all right? I will tell you, during the time of COVID, all right, the bad word, we already had it down. If they come in and they take him, I got one. I already had the sermon ready in my Bible. I would step up. I would begin to preach. We were fine. We were okay with that. Your pastor is a very strong leader, and I'm thankful for that. It's very helpful. And listen, there's nothing worse than finding someone that's a weak leader, because what happens is no longer are the people going, dude, we can do this, we can do this, because your leader's going, I just don't think we can do this. I just don't think we can do this. Okay. And so what we find is we find the situation is that, hey, you ready? They're getting ready to go into this land that's promised all the way back to that of Abraham. Hey, Abraham, remember, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to make a big, it's going to be more than the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. I'm going to make a great name. And now Joshua, all of that's on him. Ready? All that's on his shoulders. That's huge, okay? And he's getting ready to do, hey, ready? By the strength of the Lord. That's big stuff. And so then, therefore, the time, and then often the covenant. Number two, we need to focus on the unique differences found in a specific text, all right? The unique differences. Like, for instance, you ready? We need to understand that when we look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, we are not leaders of the nation of Israel. That's very evident. I know that I said it out loud. I'm sorry if I ruined any of your day. All right? We're not leaders of the nation of Israel, although, listen to me, there are people in here that are leaders. Hey, if you're a husband, all right, you're a leader of your home. You've been called to lead your home according to the principle that's found in this passage. You've been called to be strong. You've been called to be courageous, all right? Not Joshua. You ain't taking them into the promised land. Don't be doing that kind of nonsense. But there is a principle that we can find here that we can apply to our lives. And so we find then that there is some unique differences. Another one would be this. We are not embarking on a conquest to Canaan. We're not going to Canaan's land. It's just in sight. Be no sorrow there, not tomorrow we will not give up the fight. Y'all ever heard that song? That milk and honey flowing. That is where I'm going. Canaan's land is just in sight. Man, I get excited. Oh, so listen, when I was growing up, I had this man, his name was Clay Crisp. Clay Crisp did the youth choir. And man, I'll tell you what, y'all, that man had us singing some songs and like that one, all right? Another one is Every Time I Feel the Spirit Moving in My Heart, I Will. Anyway, there you go. Y'all think you like the old stuff. You don't got no. So we need to focus on the unique differences. if you are studying an Old Testament passage, you must account for the life and work of Jesus Christ. That is where you can get yourself in a world of trouble. For instance, David and Goliath. I've used that one last week. Listen, David is a picture of that of Jesus. Jesus doing what? Him killing the serpent. He's killing Satan. He's destroying him. What we did, though, when I was a kid, they would put that on a felt board and they would tell me, you're David and you can defeat your giants. You can, and you ready, guys? That's not what that's about at all. All right. What that is about, that's about the very thing that I just told you. Another thing is that as you look at this, you need to realize that there was one that came after Joshua, because Joshua's name means savior. All right. That's pretty cool. And so it's Jeshua. All right. Yeshua. And so he is a picture of Jesus, and that one day Jesus, he will lead us into the promised land. I'm looking forward to that day. That's awesome stuff. So we've got to play into the life and work of Jesus Christ. We've got to ask ourselves the question. That's why we do what we do on Grow on Sunday nights. Y'all, I'm telling you what, I unashamedly, what we do on a Sunday night, I love it. Okay. And let me tell you why. Because we're teaching our kids what they did not teach me when I was a kid. And that is that there's pictures of Jesus Christ all through the Old Testament. The foreshadowing of Christ in these situations is amazing for a kid to be able to go, oh, Jesus is there. Oh, Jesus is there. That's crazy. The foreshadowings of just pointing to that of the coming Messiah. All right. So we need to look for that as we go. All right. Number three. Another thing we need to be able to do is we need to be able to understand that there is this crossing the principal bridge. The principal, now you got to understand, in my mind, in my world, the word principal means smacking on the hand. That's P-A-L. I know. I spelled it wrong multiple times trying to make this, okay? That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a principal, but even then I had to go, because I'm going, what is a principal? The principle of the matter, right? That, maybe that's what it is. And so I put the word point there as well. What is the point that is being given here? What is it that will help me, because that river being so wide, what can I glean from this text that will help me be able to cross this bridge to where I'm not wading through the water and finding myself drowning in some of the nonsense that happens in that river, okay? So what I want to do is I want to look for that point. I want to be able to find that principle, that theological teaching that, you ready? That we were looking at step one. For instance, step one, I'll take you back. I'm not going to go back there. What did the text mean to the biblical audience? Well, we know, you ready? Here's some things. Number one, the Lord commanded Joshua. We know that. We know that the law, he asked them to be obedient to the law of Moses and to meditate on it. And we know also that he said, hey, you ready? You will be successful in the conquest of the promised land. I know. And so there's some things there that as I look at that, those are things that I can take with me as I'm doing what? As I'm trying to live out God's word. Remember, if you're going to read it, you got to, hey, we're going to read it, we're going to interpret it, and then we're going to apply it to our lives. If you're not applying it to your life, hey, I'm going to ask you, why are you reading it and interpreting it then? Okay, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we are Christ followers. We are called to look like him as we walk. The only way we can do that is know what his word says. And so in that, what happens is we start seeing and we start reflecting on the things that we've observed. We are not to create the meaning, but to discover the meaning. Be careful with that. Many times people create the meaning. Well, I think it means this. Here's a bad thing that happened back in the 80s and 90s, okay, that you don't find happening much in our Sunday school classes today. All right, if it does, man, y'all be very careful. So, class, what did that verse mean to you? And then what happens is we have an array of like 25 people going, 25 people don't talk. Just an array of people, maybe 10 going, well, you know, I was reading that this week and I think that verse means this. And then someone else says, well, I think it means this. And someone else says, well, I think it means that. Well, let me go ahead and tell you something. That is dangerous. Okay. There is only one, all right, maybe two meanings. Don't, we can't go down that path. And so we don't want to create a meaning. We want to discover the meaning that is there within the text. We want to discover it. Okay. Because if we create it, that means we're writing ourselves into it. We want to recall the differences that we identified in step two. There's lots of differences. And when we do that, we identify any similarities between the situation of the biblical audience and or the situation. What are some similarities? Well, number one, I can promise you, we could all use some meditating on God's word. But remember, the word that he was meditating on wasn't Matthew. The word that he was being called to meditate on was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That was what he had at that time. So we can't get lost in that. But can I remind you, hey, you ready? But God's word, if you look over in the New Testament, gives us multiple times that we need to be students of his word. We read some of that last week. We need to be doers of his word, not just hearers only, but doers as well. And so in that, we start looking for the similarities that are there. Here's another one. You ready? I think the Lord God wants you as a believer to be strong and courageous. I think as a believer in Jesus Christ, man, you ought to be strong. You ought to be courageous. All right. I'm not telling you to be like me. Don't be stupid. All right. What I'm telling you is to be strong and courageous in the Lord. Can I tell you why I believe that I was not strong and courageous when I was 14, 15, 16, 17 years old? It's because I was not reading God's word for myself. I would go to church on a Sunday morning and let the preacher preach to me. I would go on Sunday night and let the preacher preach to me. I would go on Wednesday night and I would let the preacher preach to me. Do you know how many times I really opened the Bible and read it for myself? It was on Sunday morning when I didn't want to hear the preacher preach, and I began to read the Bible for myself. But really, I was just trying to read the Bible because I didn't want to hear what the preacher had to say. And then I wondered why I wasn't strong and courageous. Can I tell you, the deeper you get into God's word and the more that you understand the word of God, the more bold you become in that of your witness and that of your walk, and how more of a surety you begin to walk. Ephesians chapter 5 says, make the most of your time. Walk circumspectly. That's what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, 16, and 17. It says, awake in verse 15. Verse 16 says, buy back, make the most of your time. Walk circumspectly. Well, you know how you and I can walk circumspectly? When you walk circumspectly, you walk with assurance because you're not walking with unassurance. Ephesians 4 would say, don't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Well, y'all, you won't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine if you're meditating on the Word of God. So you're looking for those similarities so that you can put it within that of your principle or that of your message. Differences plus similarities and meaning for the biblical audience equals, listen to this, the message or the point. All right, I'll say it again. The differences plus the similarities plus the meaning of the biblical audience, that is how you and I will find the message, or that's how we find the point that was given within that of the Scripture. And that's what we're going for. That's what we want to find. We don't want to go and add our meaning to it. We don't want to go and put ourselves into it. What we want to do is we want to come to God's Word and say, Lord, what is it that you're trying to tell me? What are you saying to me today? Not to Joshua. And so what we do is we take all of those, and as we add all of those up, we begin to have the purpose behind the text. And it goes something like this. To be effective in serving God, now listen to this. To be effective in serving God and successful in the task to which He has called us, we must draw strength and courage from His presence. We must draw strength and courage from the presence of God. That's why here at South River, we believe that middle W, it's all about the Word. It's the Word of God is the center of it all. And if you and I are in the Word of God, you and I are growing in the Word of God, you and I are allowing the Word of God to grasp our lives, we begin to live our life like that. We must also, listen to this, be obedient to God's Word. Why? Because He promised Joshua. He said, if you'll do what I'm telling you to do, I promise you, you will have. All right? We know that they didn't do that. We know that they, when they got into the land that was promised to them, that they didn't do all that God told them to do. And so we see also the effect of not following and being obedient to God's word. And so we see then that we are to meditate on it constantly, chew on it constantly. You say, Pastor Scott, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, I know at 12 o'clock every day my phone goes off because it's a different verse. It says, ding. All right. I know that every morning I've got to get in the Word. I know I got to get in the Word. That might be me reading God's Word. That might be me listening to God's Word. That might be me, reading it in a different version, something to keep it fresh to me. I know I need it every day. I know I need it every day. And I know that I need it. And then I know that I also need that time where I'm just really focusing on a text, chewing on it, all right? Not trying to read 10 chapters a day, although I will tell you this, your pastor, he reads 5 chapters a day, y'all. That's crazy. And plus all the other stuff that he does. One of the things that he challenges me greatly. When I first got here, he's like, so tell me what you're reading. And I'm like, I don't know, reading the Bible, I guess. Readers are leaders. Readers are leaders. And that's what he'd tell me. Readers are leaders. And I agree with that. Readers are leaders. And man, I try to read as much as I can read. I try to be in as much as I can. I try to listen to sermons. Listening to sermons, y'all, is very helpful as long as you're listening to someone that is decent. All right. Be careful with who you're listening to. You want to make sure someone that is truly exegeting the scriptures. They're really, really doing what doing the work to present it to you. One good place to go to would be Snowbird. Snowbird has got a great app. And you can go there, and they've got tons of resources for both men and women and students that you could just go and you could glean from. They got tons of stuff. It's all free. They don't charge you a dime. All right?
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Paraphrasing,
That's what I want.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what's dangerous.
The paraphrase Bibles?
No, just paraphrasing scripture.
Yeah, I think it's very... Well, as long as you've done the work, I think paraphrasing is good. It's good for me to be able to look at you and say, hey, you know what? You really need to redeem the time. You need to be very careful how you walk, and you need to be filled with the Spirit. That's a paraphrase. You know where that's from? And it's true to the Word. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, 16, 17. So I know my Bible tells me, listen, you really need to love your husband as Christ, and then you'd say, well, where's that? And that's just a paraphrase. So I tell you that's Scott Townsend version. That's careful. That's bad. What do you think this means is where I would tell you be very careful. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, here's what happens in that is whenever you, when you open up that can of worms of what do you think this means to you? Number one, you really don't know the people in the room. Like today, I'm just going to tell y'all know as much about me as I know about you, okay? So when I stand before you and I tell you that I need God's Word every day, I'm telling you I need God's Word every day. Do I get as much of it today as I did yesterday? Nope, I need God's Word every day, though. I need that. But you don't know where someone is or someone's not, and that is that some people could be, they may think the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, that they're okay, that they're believers. And so if you're asking them what something thinks or what they believe, now you're getting a mosh pot of junk. Yeah.
That we've read, and that's part of the exercises, paraphrasing.
I'd cut that out.
It'll say, you know, write what this means, read the scripture, and then write what it means to you.
And that's the danger.
Okay. Yes, you are correct, sister. Okay? You good?
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you for your question. Number three, crossing the principal bridge. We're going to cross this bridge. Are you on the right track with the theological principal point? Are you on the right track? All right, and this is how it should be reflected in the text. What you're saying should be reflected. I'd take you even to the point that you ought to make sure that it lines up with another trustworthy commentary. All right, let me tell you what your pastor did one time. One time, I was pastoring Pelier Baptist Church. I was trying to get myself ready for a Christmas morning message. And you always bring something fresh to the people. And so I sat down, and I believe that the... Don't judge me for this, okay? But I'm sitting down, I'm like, man, that star was moving, that was leading the wise men to the baby Jesus. That star, man. And Jesus said, don't look to the heavens, because the heavens, you know, that's not good. You don't look for the heavens for signs. And so therefore the star was Satan, and Satan was trying to lead the wise men to the, oh, dude, I have found something fresh. This is amazing, all right? It was not. It's from the pit of hell. It's heretical, all right? You don't do that, all right? Don't do that. And what I would tell you is that as you see this, make sure it reflects. It's in context with the text. It should be timeless and not tied to a specific situation. What I mean by that is that you and I, we need to understand that as we looked at Joshua there, it is timeless, the part that says meditate on the Word of God. That's a timeless comment. Y'all, that's true always, okay? So be careful in making something that just meets the situation that you have at hand, all right? It should be, listen to this, culturally bound. It should not be culturally bound. And that is because we realize that there's a culture that takes place that we've already studied, and we know, well, okay, we're not going to bring that with us. But what we do want to bring is we want to bring a timeless point or a timeless principle, okay? A timeless message. It should correspond to the teaching of the rest of the scripture. That means that star was not Satan, okay? Judge not lest you be judged, okay? I'm just telling you. I'm going to tell you, this is the secret, all right? This is the secrets of a pastor. We're always trying to bring something fresh and new to you because you seem like you're just bored. And so we're like, let's shake it up a little bit, Johnny. All right, but that's not true. All right, here we go. So it should be relevant to both the biblical and the contemporary audience. It should be both relevant for the biblical and a contemporary audience. So therefore, we know that God's Word should be meditated upon, not just that of the biblical audience, but that of the contemporary audience as well. The principle or the point or the principle and the points, that's not pop hints. All right, the points should only be, listen, one or two sentences. Your point ought to be not like three paragraphs long, because what happens is now I don't know what it was. I'm lost now. All right. For instance, here's a good one. Ready? Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to tell you, Ephesians, they may just read that during my funeral. All right. Here, let's hear a word from the Lord. All right. But Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. My Bible tells me, you ready? That we ought to walk as Christ has walked. Our walk should be a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. And then what happens is, and so when I read Ephesians chapter 1, I know from chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, that I need to be a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. And you know what? And then thank you, God, for giving me a list of what I should and what I should not do, because He does that in verses 3. He says, man, watch your mouth. Number 4, and see, that's a one or two sentence, timeless principle. I can look back at Ephesians chapter 5. I can know what it's about. And then I can say, hey, you know what? This is what I need to live my life. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 6 is get your armor on. Let's get to work. All right. Ephesians 4. Here's a good one. You ready? Let's be one. Let's be united. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is what we need to look like. This is how we need to live our life. We need to live in one accord. Hey, you ready? We need to live a selfless life, a life that is not all about me. It's more about you're the best. And then you'd be like, no, Pastor Scott, you're the best. I'd be like, no, you're the best. And so you're right. Why? Well, because I know verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 tells me what my God did for me. And that's how He made Himself of no reputation. And He died on a cross. Again, one or two sentences. You want the message that's there, the point, the principle that the word of God is trying to present to you. All right. Number 4, we want to consult the biblical map. So when you look at your map that I gave to you, see, it's getting bigger. Is your principle or your point consistent with the rest of Scripture? Think about that. That matters. Does it line up with the rest of God's Word? I went to counsel a young lady, and as I went to counsel her, she wanted to live a life of homosexuality, all right? But she would want to tell me that she's a believer. And so I would ask her the question, well, can I ask you a question? Then what is Romans? What is Romans there for? What's Romans 1? I'm confused. And she would say, well, that was written to the time of which Paul lived. Well, see, what happens is they don't see Romans 1 as a timeless, as it's a word of God true for all. And so they begin to categorize the Scripture. And what happens is we realize, wait a minute, your principle of that of being a believer in Christ and continue to live in sin, that doesn't line up with the rest of Scripture. So your principle is not timeless. We need to make sure it's with harmony of Scripture. If the principle is valid, it should fit with the rest of Scripture. See how many times I've said that? It needs to be in context with Scripture. If your principle comes from an Old Testament reading, you will want to run it through the New Testament. Make sure you do that. Remember, you got Old Covenant, New Covenant. That's like today. You can find some New Testament scriptures. Matthew 28, Jesus says, hey, I will be with you. That's the Great Commission. He tells them in Acts 1:8, hey, I'm giving you the Spirit of God. Now go be a witness for me. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but there's a command there. And the command in Acts 1:8 is that none of us should be sitting around not doing anything. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, He's called us all to go and be a witness. Okay? There's a command there. That's not a, if you want to. All right? There's a command to all believers. All right? So we have to run the Old Testament reading through that of a New Testament. So therefore, you'll want to do cross-references. And then how does the New Testament add or modify that? Here's one for you. You ready? Here's what Jesus Christ says. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And be ready. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, there's an Old Testament law, one of the Ten Commandments, that's not carried out in the New Testament. Do you know which one that is? Because remember, the New Testament modifies it. And keep the Sabbath holy. That's not found in what Jesus said. You say, well, why not? Well, because we're not Seventh-day Adventists. You ready? We're to worship on the Lord's Day. We worship on Sunday. There's a reason why we worship on Sunday. That's the day that the Lord, He resurrected Himself from the dead. It's the Lord's Day that we worship on. That's why we worship on that day, y'all. Okay? And so in that, though, Colossians would tell me, have no respect of that of the day in which someone worships. Because why? Well, because we make people work on Sunday because y'all go out and eat after church. And I do as well. And so therefore, that person's got to find a day that is their day of rest or their day of Sabbath. But then the Bible tells me that I should worship the Lord every day. Every day should be a Sabbath day for me. Every day should be a Sabbath day for you. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit of God is not in the temple no more. Paul tells me that I am a temple. Did you not know that you're a temple of God and that the Spirit lives in you? So really every day I should be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody to the Lord. That's Ephesians chapter 5. Again, you see what I'm saying? Okay. So we'll make sure it works. Step 5, grasping the text in our town. So how do we apply it to our town? How does the principle or the message apply in real life situations today? That's big. You ready? Hey, meditating on the Word, how does it apply to our life today? Well, hey, every one of us needs to be in it. Each passage will only have a few or often only one principle or message. Be careful of that. Only one. That's what does the Bible mean to you? What does that scripture mean to you? Well, we got to be careful of that, all right? Because there's really only one, maybe, or a few messages, points that comes out of that scripture, and we've got to be careful that the point will have, understand it will have numerous applicable possibilities. While it has one meaning, it can be applied multiple ways. Because remember, I'm not as old as some of y'all, right, Lord? And so what happens is in that Lord is at a different place in his walk than I am of my walk, but then also Carson's in a different place of his walk. And so it applies differently while the meaning doesn't change, but the application does. Hey, you ready? Some of us in this room is going through different things at different times. Some of us has lost loved ones. Some of us is dealing with the loss of this. And you ready? I'm not dealing with that at this time. So it applies differently because we're all at a different place within our walk. But don't let the meaning, there's only one or maybe two, three meanings. Don't go messing with that, all right? Due to current life situations, we know that happens, and where we are in our fellowship or in our relationship to God. There's some that's in this room that is just babes in Christ. And I think it's awesome that you're here and that you want to grow and you want to study and you want to learn. And then there's some in this room that you're more mature, all right? And so we're all on a different walk, but we're all on the same walk, all right? It's kind of like I tell kids, so you can appreciate where I'm at. I hate dating in youth group. I think it's dangerous. I did it. I was stupid, and I made much more drama than what needed to be happened. So I would always tell my girls, I say, look, girls, listen, while you're running this race, all right, and it is a race, all right, you want to be looking to the left and to the right. And if you find a young man that is running the same race that you're running, now you can start talking to that young man. But remember, you can't talk much because you're running. And when you're running, you're really out of breath. And so therefore, you really can't say much, but you want to say as much as you can to let them know that you care. And then what you do is you continue to run that race. And then you see if they can make one lap. If they make one lap, they're all right. But if they make 2, 3, 10, 20, 30, 40, I don't know, maybe 1,000, maybe we'll talk more then. But as they make that, that's what you're looking for. And so, but listen, ready? But we as believers, we're all in that race. We're all running this race. We're just all running at different speeds, at different places. Some of us started sooner than others. But what we have to realize is that we need this book. We need this. It ain't we want this book. We need this book so that we can run that race properly. Okay, we need to get a proper understanding because there's nothing worse than running a race. You can ask my Carly in cross country, you take the wrong turn, you might as well count yourself out of the race. That makes no sense. You want to follow where it is that the race is laid out for you, and that's found here in God's Word. All right, questions. I leave it to you for questions. Here's what I'm going to do next week. We'll be doing sentences. But I think what I'm going to try to do, just so it's not so like, it's like, I think if I can, I might do sentences and paragraphs together. But listen, let me go ahead and let you know. I'm not an English major, none whatsoever. So the things I'll talk with you next week will be foreign to me, all right? I have to go back and look and say, okay, what is an adjective? You're like, don't judge me, don't judge. I'm just telling you, that's what I have to do. So next week we'll talk about how do we read sentences. For instance, just got kind of whet the appetite. Don't go nowhere yet. If you want to study for next week, we're going to be looking at one sentence, and that is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That'll be on my headstone when I die. And so in those sentences, what we're going to do is we're going to look for things like repetition in words. We want to look, as we look at sentences, the contrast. We want to look and be able to see the cause and effect. Is there any lists? Lists are important. And how do we see those lists? And so that's the kind of things that we want to see next week. So bring your Bible, bring your friend, and we'll have a wonderful time. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for our day. We thank you for this time. God, this time goes by fast. And so, Lord, I just pray that what's been said is helpful. And Lord, I pray that we all understand that as believers, we're on this journey. God, we need to be aware of this journey. And that is that, God, you've given us the book. Lord, we just got to open it up. And Lord, not be afraid of it. Lord, this is a love letter. I can remember when I used to get those letters, Lord, from Melanie way before emails. And God, you great anticipation. You'd open that letter because I knew it was someone that loved me. And Lord, as I wrote them back to her, she would do the same. And God, when we open up your book, God, that's how we ought to read it, with anticipation. What is it that you want to tell us? And God, may we just find joy, Lord, not something to be, Lord, cumbersome or overwhelming, just joyful. Open your book, Lord, see what it is that you have to say, properly interpret it so that, God, we can apply it to our lives. But then, Lord, this is the good part, that, God, as we do that for ourselves, Lord, there's people in our lives that needs to hear what we read this morning. There's people that needs to be encouraged. That's what Hebrews tells us, that we ought to be encouraging one another. Well, how can we encourage someone if we don't know what your word says? Well, then we become Oprah. And God, that's not what we need to be. Lord, we need to be encouraging people from what your word has to say, because that's truth. And so, God, may we be students of your word. Lord, I love you. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.